Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning, as always, and it's just good to see all of you. I was sitting here facing the front, and then I turn around and look, and just seeing all your faces brought joy to my heart this morning. But my prayer this morning is for this. I kind of have this picture in my mind. Yesterday morning, I got up early and went up on Nebo, which is a place that I love to go. It's a place, I don't know why, I just find inspiration up there and I find peace up there. And there's just something about it. I like going any time of day, but especially I like going in the morning. So I got up and I left my house in the dark yesterday and I drove up there and I got out on the point and I sat down on one of the benches and I had my computer and I was just typing some notes for this morning. And when I got up there, I couldn't see anything. It was so much fog. But I knew it was going to get pretty at some point. But I just put my head down and I just started typing. And I don't know how long it was that I didn't even look up. But what was really neat about it was when I eventually did, all the clouds and all the fog had moved out. And it was just the coolest thing because when I looked, the last time I had looked, I couldn't see anything. I could just see the tops of trees and then just this haze everywhere. And so I was just sitting here like this typing, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I don't know what it was. And I looked up and it was all gone. And I could just see everything. I could see down into the valley. I could see trees. I could see the sun. And so that's my prayer this morning. There's been a lot of haze in the world, hasn't there? There's been a lot of haze in my world with everything that is going on or isn't going on. It's just created a lot of fog. And so my prayer this morning is that just like yesterday morning happened for me, where the fog just started to lift and I could just see the definition of God's creation and all the things that he does, my prayer would be that this morning that same thing could happen for us. So if you would, let's just pray and I'll just jump in to, I'm going to give you an update on Boys and Girls Christian Home this morning and then just tie in some truths that I've been learning and that are a part of what we're learning with the BGCH family. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, God. It was just a few short weeks ago that we weren't even able to be together, and it just does my heart and my mind good to be in here in this room this morning with all these people that we love. And I thank you, Lord, for this family and for allowing us to be here. And as we take a few minutes this morning, Lord, and just talk about what you're doing on the other side of the world and what you're doing right here, Lord, I pray that you would bring encouragement. And Lord, if there's heaviness and fog and clouds in any of our hearts and minds this morning, I pray that the love of Jesus would burn through that and lift it, Lord, so that we can see clearly all that you are and all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just going to dive in here this morning. I know a lot of you, but there's some of you that I don't know. So I'm just going to tell our story from the beginning. But my name is Brad Palmer. My wife, Sarah, and our three kids, Gracie, Cain, and Cade, have been a part of this church for, Sarah and I have been a part of this church for almost 24 years now. This has been our church family. And we came here as a young married couple. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Greg for always being so gracious to give us this opportunity to be here. He gives us this Sunday every summer to share about Boys and Girls Christian Home. So I want to just personally say thank you to him. And to Jamie and their family for just being gracious and giving us that opportunity. When I stood up here last summer, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. When I stood up here last summer, none of us would have had any guess. If I would have stood up here and predicted and said, hey, I'll tell you what it's going to look like in the summer of 2020, you'd have said, dude, you're from another planet. You're making stuff up. But here we are. And but what I pray today is that we can rest in the fact that in the midst of all of this, whatever this is, we can still see that God hasn't lost track of us and he's working all things for our good. I believe that. Some days I believe it more than others. Some days my own heart and mind gets in the way and I start to wonder what's going on. But I know that God is in control of all this. My wife Sarah and I took over the leadership of Boys and Girls Christian Home about 16 years ago, a little over 16 years ago. And when we accepted the two positions, there's only two positions of employment here in the U.S. And one is general director and one's administrative assistant. And they had the guts to hire both of us. So we became the staff of Boys and Girls Christian Home all in one day. But we honestly, as I've told you before, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. We just said yes and then figured that God would have to teach us on the job, and he has done that. I can truly say today that we have seen God make good on all his promises, and he's taken a very unlikely duo like Sarah and I, and he's been our provider, our sustainer, our direction giver for all these years, and we are humbled that he's allowed us to have a part of it. BGCH always has been and always will be in our hearts and minds one of the most special places on earth. And for those of you, there's a bunch of you in this room as I look around that have gotten on an airplane and taken a trip with us there. I believe you would echo that and say that it's a little corner of the earth where things go on that are just hard to describe. And for over 100 years, there's been the hearts and minds of young people being rescued and restored. So for Sarah and I to have a small part of that for the past 16 years has really been a cherished opportunity. As some of you know, Sarah and I do other things along with the ministry of Boys and Girls Christian Home. I'm now a PE teacher and a boys basketball coach at Atkins High School, which has just been an unbelievable adventure and one that I have truly loved this past year. Wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just been an opportunity that I'll forever be grateful for. And then many of you in this room, Sarah has gotten to serve and love moms and families as a birth doula here in this area and all around the state, helping little ones come into the world. So it's been a really special thing for all of us as a family. All of our kids were born here. They were dedicated and baptized in this church. And so getting to raise this family, our family here with all of you, has really been special. So I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on over on our campus, because just like everything has changed here, everything has changed there as well. And our year ended abruptly, just like our school years did here. And all of a sudden, we were told we couldn't keep all of our kids there at the home, and so we had to send them back wherever we could to places that they had family or friends, somewhere that they could go, which was very difficult because it was unexpected and came abruptly. And so the kids all had to be dispersed back out into the different villages. Normally, right now, we would be starting a school year. Actually, about a month ago, we would have started a school year, and almost 200 kids would be filtering back onto our campus, and their routines would be falling in place. The new kids, the little ones, would be crying a little bit less by now, because most of them cry a lot when they get there because they're just so unsure of where they are. But also at this time, love would start becoming their new norm, and it would become their comfort and their security. But today, that's not the case because of this pandemic and what's going on. Our children weren't able to come back, and we don't know when they're going to be able to come back. But we're trusting the ultimate Father that he has them, and where they currently are, he's taking care of them. And that's been tough for us to picture because we've experienced firsthand the circumstances that they are in when they're not at our home. And so there's times that it's difficult to think about that because we just want them to be able to come back where we can be assured that they're being loved and being cared for and not subjected to the things that exist in their world that are out of their control. So needless to say, we need your prayers now more than ever, and our kids need your prayers now more than ever. During this uncertain time, we began to ask God, what is it that you want us to do? We knew we weren't supposed to just lock the gate and do nothing. We knew that God had a plan, and so that's exactly what we've done. Early in the time of the pandemic, we were approached as a possible emergency COVID care center, and so we decided to accept that opportunity and recognize that that's what God had for us. And so for the last several months, our mission and purpose haven't changed, but our model has completely changed. And our campus is now a COVID care center, and we test patients, and we provide a safe place of refuge for patients that need to be quarantined in a safe place. What that has done for us is give us an opportunity to let the love of God step outside of the normal boxes that we thought would always be our model. And it's given us the opportunity to love and serve our community in a new way. Ironically, Boys and Girls Christian Home, way back in the late 1800s, it was actually birthed in the time of national catastrophe in that country. It was a time of famine, and it was a time of great sickness, and that was when we had our roots. And so our general director, shortly after this happened, he texted me one day and he said, I really feel like this is not a mistake, and this is a chance for us to go back to our roots and do what it is that we started doing over 120 years ago. So I just want to say thank you to all of you that have supported the BGCH family since Sarah and I brought it to Russellville. I remember the very first time after we took the job and we were over in the old building, and Brother Stephen gave us the opportunity to stand up in front of you and literally just throw out in front of you for the first time, hey, this is something that God has asked us to do, and how quickly so many of you partnered with us, and you have for all these years. You've prayed for our kids faithfully. You've given beyond generously. You volunteered for our benefit events. You've taken trips. You've rented us office space rent-free. You've given us office space. You've printed our materials at no charge. You've helped put our kids through college. You've made Christmas packages, and on and on and on the list would go. All things that have happened through this body and through many of you that may be listening this morning or watching online, you have all made this possible. It would not be possible without all of you. When the pandemic hit, we were in the middle of the biggest building campaign that we've ever had in the history of the organization. And I think, to be honest, I think it would be accurate to use the word we were thriving. I feel like we had the best staff we've ever had. I feel like our facilities were the best they've ever had. We were financially stronger than we've ever been. And it really felt like this was a season that we have worked and worked and prayed for many years. And then all of a sudden, just like everything in your world, it just all got yanked right out from under us. And no one could have seen it coming. And no one could have predicted it. But again, I go back to the fact that God never wastes any of our circumstances, good, bad, or otherwise. They all have purpose and they all have a plan. And even when we feel like the plan makes no sense at all, we can trust him that he's still leading and directing. So we're just thankful for all of you. We're thankful for your partnership in this. On an exciting level, our staff are healthy. None of our staff, and to our knowledge, none of our kids who are back in their villages have been affected by the virus that we're aware of. And so we're so thankful. I wanted to show you a little video this morning of just currently what's going on. It's going to look different than the videos you normally see with kids running around and all those kind of things. But we just wanted to show you, just give you a little in-person look at just what things have looked like. So Arlo, if we can show that video at this time, and then I'll come back and continue to share. Thank you.
In a time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't that much difference between you and me. In a time full of war, be peace. In a place that needs change, make a difference.
get one go round.
'Cause the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can't win, just slow it down. In a see black and white, in a world full of hate, be a light.
That really encourages me, and it motivates me to just to not quit, you know, just to stay in it. So that's pretty neat. I love seeing that. Well, as you guys know, usually this time of year is when we start talking about our benefit event that we host here every year, and it usually takes place late in August, and so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this today. This year will make year number 7 for this event that we call One Night, One Cause, and we're excited to do it again, whatever it's going to look like. We decided that we're going to go ahead and move forward with it. So in your worship guide this morning is a flyer. If you want to take that home with you and put it on your refrigerator or tape it to a wall or something to remind you about it. Hopefully, you know, if you're on our mailing list, you've received information about it. If you follow us on any of the social media platforms, obviously you've seen lots of things about it. But our event this year will take place on Friday, August the 21st. At our usual start time is 6:30. We've done this now. Like I said, this will be year number 7. The adjustments that we are going to make this year because of COVID, we're not going to do our silent auction and our dessert reception. We couldn't figure out logistically what that would look like to take 300-400 of us and cram us down there in that hallway in the fellowship hall area. We love that part of our night. It's where we all just get to hang out and have a good time, but we felt like it was best this year that we didn't do that. But what we are going to do is still have the concert in here like we always do. We're going to prepare for a live event as if we're going to be able to do it, and hopefully we will. But we also are completely prepared for the event to have to go on completely online if there's things outside of our control that we're not able to all gather here that night. The event, if we are able to do a live event, it will also be live streamed that night. For any of you that are watching today and you're thinking, man, I'm not able to get out, or if you're watching today out of state, which I know there are a lot of people watching all over the place today, that night, the whole event will be online with the option, with an online giving option right there that you could click on if you want to be a part of that event and support that event. But there's lots of information, like I said, if you'll go to our website, bgchm.org, or go to Facebook or Instagram, all the details over the next month will be coming up about that. The only thing we're going to sell that night is our t-shirts. We always do an event t-shirt, and people love those. So that's the only thing we're going to sell. We're not going to do any of the auction items, but we will have those available that night. If you're physically able and you're comfortable with it, we'd love to have you come that night. I think there's plenty of room in here for us to follow guidelines. And honestly, I think for all of us, probably it would be a night that would have good value, great value, to just come and to worship the Lord and to get our tanks filled up a little bit. So we would love it if you were able to come that night and be a part of that. Every year we give a theme to our event. And usually the theme comes out of something that's going on currently in our lives or in the life of Boys and Girls Christian Home. So a couple months ago when Sarah and I were sitting down one morning and we were just talking about the event, and we really were just trying to decide, are we even going to have the event? And it was during the time that we were just completely quarantined and gatherings like this weren't happening and no one was getting together. So we really came close to just canceling the event and just saying we're not going to do it this year. But then later that day, we were listening to K-Love, and we heard Zach Williams' song, There Was Jesus, come on. And it just seemed like instantly we knew, like, that's the theme. That's what we want to have as be the theme for our event this year. Because in the midst of all this, and as you saw, in the midst of everything that they're having to do over there, there was Jesus. It didn't mean that the circumstances were easy. It didn't mean that there weren't all kind of changes that had to be made. But what it did mean was that Jesus could be present in those circumstances. And so this morning, I've had to ask myself, what are the places in my life that I need Jesus? And I would ask you to do the same thing. Ask yourself, what are the circumstances in your life that would require an extra amount of Jesus to show up? Is it a circumstance, a relationship? Is there a mountain you're trying to get over? Is there a valley you're trying to wade through? What pain is in your life? What loss? What trial? What impossibility has brought you to the end of yourself and made you feel hopeless and alone? And what I would submit to you this morning is for just like times just like those that there is Jesus. And so that's going to be our theme that night, and I pray that maybe you can be a part of it and enjoy that night with us. As I look at our world right here in Russellville, I have no problem admitting to you that sometimes it's tough for me to make sense of anything. When I think about school now as a school teacher and a coach, I don't know what to tell my kids when they ask me. There's so many unknowns, there's so many uncertainties, there's so many mixed messages out there. But didn't Jesus come for times just like this? Isn't this when we need him most? This week I was reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And if you want to turn there, you can, but no problem. If not, I'll just read it here for us. But this is the story of when the disciples were out on the water, and having Jesus there was exactly what they needed. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 8 says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" As I read this story, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. The first thing is that at the beginning of the story, the water was calm. I thought about this in our lives. How often do we find ourselves, when we are in a season of calm, we don't look for Jesus the same way, do we? And haven't you experienced that in your life, that is life? Life is a series of, it seems like the water's calm, and then all of a sudden it's choppy, and the waves start to break. And I thought about this as I looked at these guys. When the water was calm, was there anybody asking for Jesus? No, they were just up on the deck of the boat chilling like, hey, we're good, you know. Jesus is down there, but just leave him down there. He's fine. But then all of a sudden, when the waves began to come and the storm began to come, they were looking for Jesus. So relatable to me this morning. I also find this to be an interesting fact in this story. I find it comforting to know that, do you think Jesus knew that storm was coming, or did it sneak up on him? He knew it was coming. But he was so aware that when it comes, I'm going to take care of it, that he was able to just go and rest. I found that very comforting. Sometimes I find more angst in seasons of calm than I do in storms, because I'm worried about the storm that's coming. I'm thinking like, I know this isn't going to last forever, you know? And then, but what it was, this is comforting to me because it encourages me with the fact that I don't have to have anxiety or fear in those times either, because I do know the storms are coming, but I also know that Jesus is there ahead of me. And he's already got it. He's got it before the wind and the waves even begin. And so that's very encouraging to me. This is another thing that I noticed in this storm. This was not just a breeze. It used the word furious. It was a furious storm. That's a big storm. I don't know what that looked like, but I don't think the word furious would be used if it wasn't massive. But it wasn't too big for God, was it? He could handle it. And then the last thing I thought was really interesting, it was just his voice that calmed the wind and the waves. Sometimes we look for something sensational, but really it was just the voice of Jesus that said, just breathe. I got this. It's going to be okay. So what I think about this morning when I think about us, how many of us have been on a relaxing boat ride on calm seas that suddenly turn into a terrifying lost at sea experience? Some of us are in that right now because of the pandemic. It's spun your world completely out of control. Some of you in the midst of the pandemic have experienced things in your life that have nothing to do with the pandemic, but they've hit during this time, which has just in some ways exaggerated the experience for you or made it that much tougher. But today I pray for myself. I prayed this morning and I pray this for all of you, that in the midst of this, like never before, you will recognize that this is a time, it was for times like this that Jesus came to be here. Another story that I thought about then as after I read this one was, I thought about in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and again, I'm just going to read a few verses from there, but this is the story of the fiery furnace. And I've always loved this story since I was a little kid. I don't know what it was about it, but I was always drawn to this story, and you're familiar with it. These three guys were told they needed to bow to the king, and they just wouldn't do it. And they, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the images of gold that you have set up." I love this story so much because I think about, you know, we saw Jesus show up in the midst of a storm, and now we see him show up in a fire. And all of us have experienced storms and we've experienced fire, but I love the confidence that these guys had. And I love how they said, hey, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not bowing down. We're still not backing down. We're still not changing our position. And this again was a really intense fire. They says that they turned, I don't know how you turn fire up. I've never felt, I guess all fire is hot, but I guess as it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and that blue flame comes, I think this was a blue flame furnace. They turned it up so hot. They said 7 times hotter than normal. So hot that the soldiers or the guards that were trying to throw these three men into the furnace, it killed them. And that's a hot fire. That's a very, very big trial. And yet these guys just walked into it with confidence that God had them. And then what's, you know, obviously the greatest part of the story is that God did show up in that fire for all to see. And I love that about that, the story. There's a few observations that I made in this story that I thought were really interesting. First of all, like I said, it was no ordinary fire. It was 7 times hotter. And I don't know for you what kind of a fire you may be in right now, but maybe you're saying, I think I'm in one that's 7 times hotter than I've ever been in before. But again, remind yourself and be encouraged in this, that God can be there in that moment. I also love that when Jesus showed up, it wasn't just for the purpose of getting these guys through the fire. It was for the purpose of all those around who were observing. And sometimes when we're walking through a fire, there's value because in that fire, there's the opportunity for those around us to see our God in a different way and in a different light. And I love how the bystanders, including the king, when they realized, wait a minute, there's a fourth guy in there. Don't you think that made God look good in that moment? And so I think that's something that we can be encouraged with this morning, is that sometimes God allows us to go through the fire, and it may not have anything to do with anything more than the fact that he's just trying to look for an opportunity to show himself to the world around us. So today, my prayer is that you would see Jesus and that I would see Jesus like we've never seen him before. What about our church, our community, our state, and our world? We find ourselves in the middle of one of the most unusual times in history. There's so much we can't figure out. There's so much loss. There's so much pain. And there's so much we just can't make sense of. And really, we don't have anywhere else to turn. There's no quick fix. There's no magic formula that someone's waiting to reveal. There's not a vaccine that's going to fix it. There's not an election that's going to fix it. There's not a decision by somebody in leadership above us that's going to fix it. The only thing that will fix it is Jesus, and that's the only place we will find rest. We've been programmed as a society and as individuals to look for ease and for the absence of trouble, to find peace of mind, but that's not reality. Jesus himself clearly stated, in this world, you will have trouble. So as we close today, I've asked Keely, and I don't know if Keely is still in here, but I've asked Keely to come and sing a song with me that we're going to sing at our benefit event in a few weeks. And I'm looking for Keely, and there's Robert. I may sing it by myself. He said, I'm not singing Keely's part. I don't want that job either. But anyway, we're going to let this song just serve as a time of invitation this morning. And I just want you to know that whatever's going on in your heart this morning, if you need someone to come alongside of you and to stand with you, if you need someone to kneel with you up here and help bear your burden and to cry with you and to share in what you're walking through, or maybe you just need a place to come and be alone, all of those things are available and an option for you here this morning. But thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity for me to share and to update you on what's going on with BGCH and to just share a little bit about what God's been teaching me in my life. And I hope and pray that that can be an encouragement to you.